Well, I bring you greetings from John chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. That's our text for this morning. John chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. He came to Jesus at night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these miracles that you are doing unless God be with him." Jesus answered and said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a man be born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be surprised that I said to you, you must be born above, from above." Now, this passage is vital for our understanding of the gospel. By and large, the gospel has been lost in our country in the last few years. And we have lots of teaching in our churches that is not the biblical gospel. There are all kinds of gospels today. There is the gospel of the power of positive thinking. If you just think good thoughts, you're right with God. There's the gospel of possibility thinking. Same thing. There's a kind of a happy gospel. If you think good thoughts about God, you'll be blessed. There's the entertainment gospel, where you come and be entertained and you're right with God. Whereas the biblical gospel is about eternal destiny. It's about heaven. It's about hell. It's about God, and it's about our future. And we could all say here this morning, it doesn't matter about our past. What matters is our future. Where will we be for all eternity? Here is the gospel according to our Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, in this passage, we have a divine providential event. Jesus and Nicodemus are together. Now, how'd that happen? God so arranged that Nicodemus would live at the time that Jesus was on earth. He arranged that Nicodemus would be in proximity to be able to meet Jesus. He put a conviction and a curiosity in Nicodemus' heart so that he wanted to talk to Jesus about what was going on. So there's a providential event. Providence is God working out his plan. He has an eternal plan, and he's working it out. And we see this here. Now, this applies to our life. God's providence is working in every life this morning. He arranged this for you to be here. Not one is here by chance or accident. Whether it was hard for you to get up or you had whatever, you got here. God's providence. So he has a purpose for you this morning. And he'll carry out that purpose. He will do his will in your life this morning. Now we trust him for that. Let's bow in prayer and ask him. Our God and Father, we ask you for this morning that you will give blessing both to speak the truth and to receive the truth, that the Father may be glorified, that the Son of God may be exalted, and that the Holy Spirit may be honored, and that you will bring about new birth to those who are in need. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, this is big. This is a big deal for Nicodemus to come to Jesus. And you read here that he came at night. And there's a whole lot of speculation about why Nicodemus came at night. One big one is that he was afraid of the Pharisees. To be seen with Jesus and consorting with him would have made the Pharisees furious. So he came at night. Now, my view of that is that the poor man couldn't sleep. So he came at night. Rather than getting up and having a glass of warm milk, camel's milk or whatever he had, he came to Jesus. He wanted to talk about this, see what's going on here. He's disturbed, curious, and he comes. In verse 2, we have a divine revelation. In that God was revealing to Nicodemus, there's something different here. There's something really different about this Jesus Christ. He's not just like us. He's above and beyond and greater. And I need to know him. God was revealing that to Nicodemus, and so he came. In verse 3, we have the divine reply. Nicodemus had said, "We know you're a teacher who's come from God, for no man can do these miracles that you're doing unless God be with him." Now Jesus answered and said, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a man be born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, this must have really been strange to Nicodemus. Jesus didn't seem to directly answer his statement. Strange, unexpected reply. And I want you to notice in this passage, we have some very strong words to which we must pay attention because it affects our life. We find the word except, unless, can not, and must. Strong words. Unless a man be born from above, he cannot see heaven. Can not. The word can is interesting in the English language. You can drink a can of soda. That's one kind of can. Or most of you drink Diet Pepsi or whatever. But. And then there's the word C-A-N meaning ability. You cannot do that. Jesus is saying, you cannot see the kingdom of God or heaven unless you are born from above. Now, your translation may say, be born again. The word translated again means from above. A heavenly, spiritual, godly birth. Be born again. Now think about your life this morning. Think about this scripture. Have you been born again? Have you had a spiritual birth? If that continues, you'll never see heaven. This is serious truth. This is the gospel. And here is stated this tragic consequence. What an awful thing to spend eternity apart from God, apart from everything that's good and wonderful, clean and pure and holy. In miserable torment, unforgiven, forever. And this word can is a word associated with dynamite, the Greek word dunatai. You cannot see the kingdom of heaven. You're unable. Now, in verse 4, we have the human question reasonable from a human viewpoint. Jesus is saying something so weird, really, to Nicodemus. You must be born again. Now, Nicodemus rightly says, how? How can it be? Can a man enter his mother's womb and be born? Of course not. The new birth is something entirely different. However, it's a good question. And it needs to be answered, which the Lord does in verses 5 through 7. In 5, we read, truly, truly. Now, this is for emphasis. Sit up and pay attention when you read truly, truly in the scripture. I say to you, except or unless a man be born of water, which is a symbol for the Word of God, and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, first he said, you cannot see. Now he's saying, you cannot enter into heaven. Just cannot be. Unless or except you are born of the Word and the Spirit. Death comes. It's death to the body. The soul lives on. God creates Adam, or Adam, and he takes a piece of earth and the chemicals in it, forms a piece of clay, a human body, and there's no life in that body. And Genesis reads that he breathed into that body he had formed the breath of life. And Adam comes alive. He's a living soul, which means that the soul of man is eternal. Heaven, hell, forever. No alternatives. There's no in between. I remember one time I was meeting with a young man for lunch and explaining heaven and hell and the great divide. And I said, where do you think you are? He said, I think I'm in the middle. Well, there ain't no middle. It's either or. Cannot. So the Lord is explaining to Nicodemus what this is all about. And he comes with divine truth. Verse 6 is really important. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Now, this is just plain truth. There's a natural man, there's a spiritual man. There's a man of the flesh, there's a man of the Spirit. In 1 Corinthians, Paul writes, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. You must have spiritual life to be in heaven. Natural, spiritual. And there's really only two kinds of people. Those who are in the flesh and those who are of the Spirit, having been born of the Spirit. Now there are some similarities between our physical birth and our spiritual birth. In the physical birth, there is a conception. When the male sperm is engaged and joined to the female egg, there is conception. There is life. In the spiritual birth, there is a conception. When the Holy Spirit places into the human spirit, there is a conception and there is life. We are alive unto God. And it's a new creation. If you have been born again, you are a new creation. Christians are not just nice people. We're new people. We're a new creation. And you may say to me, well, how do I know if I'm a new creation? How do I know if I've been born again? Well, let me suggest just a very few things now, just quickly. Number one, you will be aware that you are forgiven of sin. All sin. Past, present, future. You're qualified for heaven. You will have assurance you're forgiven. Secondly, you will love Jesus Christ. God the Father loves Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit loves Jesus Christ. If we are a part of this thing, we will love Him. Next, we will worship God. In church, out of church, everywhere, all the time. Another reason is that we will be hungry for biblical truth. You will find yourself going to the Bible. You'll be hungry for that. You can't deny it. No one has to urge it on you. You want it with all your heart. Another thing about the new creation is that there's a desire for holiness. Doesn't mean we become perfect. Doesn't mean we never sin. We do sin. Every Christian still sins. But we don't do it like we used to. We hate it. We love holiness. And another thing about the new creation, we love the brothers and sisters. It's just there. We love each other. We are brothers, we are sisters, we are in the family of God. Now, these are just a few things, but it's something to grab hold of. Are you born again? Are you going to heaven? That's what this is about. That's what the gospel is about. And this gospel must be reclaimed and renewed, and there must be a revival of the gospel. Now, another thing about the new birth and the spiritual birth, I mentioned a conception. There is another similarity. It's just this. In your first birth, you didn't do it. You didn't born yourself. You didn't even choose your parents. You didn't choose your sex. You didn't choose at what time in history you would be born or where. You want to know where I was born? I'll tell you anyway. I was born on a kitchen table in a little town of Scotts Bluff, Nebraska, during a blizzard. I was the fifth child of my dear little mother. And the weather was so severe, the doctor had to spend the night. I didn't have much to do with it. I probably would have chosen a different kind of situation there. We had nothing to do with it. In the spiritual birth, we have nothing to do with it. It's done for us by the Holy Spirit. And He must do that. You did not born yourself physically, and you cannot born yourself spiritually. All glory to God. All praise to the Holy Spirit. Oh, blessed Holy Spirit. Precious, wonderful, glorious Holy Spirit. Who would initiate such grace towards sinners to come and invade our life and pour the truth into us and bring about a spiritual birth. Oh, how I love the Holy Spirit. He is so good. He is so kind. He not only gives us new life, He stays with us. He abides in us. He's here this morning. He indwells the believer. And He goes through life with us in all of our weaknesses, our failures, our mistakes, and our sins. And I sometimes say, Holy Spirit, how can you stand me? I can't even stand myself. He is so wonderful. bless and praise the Holy Spirit, who has given us birth from above. He is God. He's able to do this. He is so good and kind. Now you may say, if I can't do this, and this is of interest to me, and I can tell that God is saying something to me this morning, and I don't want to miss heaven. I really want to be born again. What do I do? You ask him. If this is of interest to you, and you have any desire to be born again and go to heaven, it's the sure sign that God is already working in your heart. Now you can ask him. Don't leave here without coming to him in prayer and ask him, Lord, give me spiritual life. Make me a new creation. It is not good enough just to hang around churches or go to Bible studies. You must be born again. Must be. You know, I never thought of this. This is what the Lord Jesus said. Before I was a Christian, my mom would send my brother to witness to me. So we go for a ride in his car. And I remember him mentioning these words, born again. Whew, just didn't get it. But the day came when the Holy Spirit visited me. And I came alive to know God, to love Christ, to surrender to the Holy Spirit and live for his glory. Make this a solemn moment, a sacred moment, as you pray for yourself. Or I would suggest that all of us here this morning have someone for whom we are concerned that you could be praying about in these closing moments. Let's bow for prayer. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Melt us, mold us, fill us, use us. All glory, praise, and honor to your holy name. Lord Jesus, we love you. Holy Spirit, we adore you. We surrender our life to your control. Lord God, just visit us now. Go from heart to heart. Come deeply into our lives and cause us to live for your glory. Oh, blessed Spirit, do your work of grace even now. for Jesus' sake. Amen.